Father, thank you for your love and your mercy, your grace. We ask that today you'll speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things that I really want to keep talking to you about is how we fix the problem. But again, we can't fix the problem until we understand the problem and we're willing to deal with the problem, where again, most people are not. If you hear anything I say throughout class, you got to understand that if you are not willing to look at life honestly, then you are never going to solve the problems you face. The problems that we face are solvable as a nation, as an individual, etc. One of the things that we have to start looking at is cause and effect. How are things affecting what the future is? Remember the idea of hours of influence equal to normal, and build it right up. We have to understand that. I mean, you got to ask yourself some hard questions after a while. Like, I can use Haiti for an example. There's a lot of mission groups that go to Haiti. Is Haiti different today? Well, for some, maybe. But in general, no. So what is it that we have to do differently? I'm not sure what it is. Sometimes I wonder if our mission trips, you know, are more important than actual results. Because I remember there's a story of a group down in Mexico, a mission, you know, a group that people went down there a lot. And before the church group got there, the head of this little city said, make sure that all of you become born again while they're here. Because that's what keeps them coming back. You know, so is there a system in place worldwide that is just warped, that isn't really working? And then we come back and think, oh, look at the results, this is great. Then people go and do the same thing over and over again, just keep giving them food. I think it's important that we look at things like that. Not necessarily, see, it's hard for us to look at anything because we get misrepresented as saying we don't like that. That's not the issue. The issue is there a better way to do it, whatever it is? Are we accomplishing what should be accomplished? Is this what really God wants us to do? When we look at our culture even, what is culture? Anyway, if we're talking about a culture, what is it? You know, it's the norm of the society in which surrounds us, whatever that is. How much are we affected by culture, and who actually sets those norms? I mean, how much do you think your Christianity today, the Christianity that you have, is affected by the culture of the United States of America? Yeah. You know what? That alone would be a good ponder thing. If you were to read through the Bible and separate it from our culture, if you could, how much of what we believe and what we do is tied to just the way that our culture believes and does? You know, I don't know about you. I was watching, I got home from church and was waiting. Walter was kind of come over and we were going to talk a little bit. And in between, I turned on the television for a little bit, and I knew that some people could watch, like, all day football on Sunday somehow. And there was something on there. And the way the guys were talking, I honestly thought, oh my goodness, they're worshiping this game. I mean, seriously, they were talking about, yeah, when I'm down or whatever, I just got to go play some football. And, you know, and football picks me up. And I, all of a sudden, I'm sitting there thinking, you know, this is getting a little weird. Now, you know what else was suggested during that time period is that we really should make the Super Bowl a national holiday. I thought, this is getting even weirder. You know, this is a game. And there are people, no kidding, Sunday, who spent 8 to 10 hours just glued to what was going on somewhere. When's the last time you think someone was 8 to 10 hours just glued to something real positive? So you know, and again, is watching football, or is that evil? That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that our culture, does it actually affect us? Does our culture set the norm, or do we set the norm? And that's something that is an argument of all time. Is Christianity merely a personal experience applying to one's private life? I mean, is my Christianity just about Dave Wager and I just get to keep it quiet? Is that why God saved me? I would ask you this. Is my marriage about Dave Wager, and I will never ever mention Linda, and I won't even talk about her, and if she walks in the room, I'll pretend like I don't know her. Is that healthy? See, that's not healthy. In relationships, one of the cool things about relationships is you actually like being in them. So if Linda walked in the door, she would have my undivided attention. If she walked in that door right now, my attention will go to her. Why? She is my wife, and she walked in at a time she normally doesn't walk in. I want to talk to her. Nothing wrong with that. She gets my undivided attention if she says something. Anyway, why? Because she has a special relationship. You go, well, how come you mean you would quit listening to me and listen to her? Yes, I would. Why? Because she has a relationship with me that's different than you. And that's okay. None of you would find fault with that. She has a different relationship. So with God, should I not go through this world saying I love God? No, I should. But why would I deny something? See, people think this is a private thing. Well, let me tell you, in all relationships, and your generation is kind of ruining that, but in all relationships and all intimacy, there's private moments. There are. Me and God, same thing. But in public, I'm not ashamed of God. And we have to understand that that's the way it is. What we've heard so many times from politicians is, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I'm not going to impose that on. What kind of garbage is that? I just got called today and asked if I'd go down to the Madison, the State House, and open the session in prayer. It would be next Tuesday I would do that. I said, no, I'd really rather stay here and teach you guys than do that. So I'm not doing it. It would be fun. Just pick another day besides the Tuesday, please. And what's interesting is that there are some people that still are able to say what they need to say in public. And as I was talking to this politician, he said, so you're going to run for office? I said, no. I said, I'm unelectable. All they got to do is go check out my messages. There's plenty of sound bites for them to just take and put on the news and make me look like I hate everybody. So it won't work. Because really, if you don't listen to the context of some things, you're in trouble. I can tell you that I'm against homosexuality as a sin, and they could just pull that piece up and just not finish it. And before you know it, paint a picture of you. And you say, well, you need to be less vocal about things. Really? I do? See, I'm not going to be less vocal about things, because how can I love anybody and hide what's really true? You can't do that. So a politician that says, I'm a Christian, but it won't affect the way I think, you're not a Christian as far as I'm concerned, because Christianity should affect how you think. It should affect your decisions. It should affect how you lead. And if not, my goodness, it's not a private life thing. In fact, it's like this. Every private decision contributes to the moral and cultural climate in which we live, rippling out ever-widening circles. First, our personal and family lives, then in our broader society. Charles Colson said, look, you can believe whatever you want, but it's your little decisions, private decisions, that affect other people. And they do. Whether you understand that right now or not, whether you agree with it or not, it doesn't matter. Because the bottom line really is, when you make a decision, you might think it's a personal decision. People have gotten together and said, what's it your business? If two people aren't married, they want to have sex together, whatever, what's it to you? They're not hurting anybody. Yes, they are. If there's a baby conceived, there's emotional things, there's family that's involved. You are not an island. And everything that you and I do affects somebody else. See, the part of relationships, we have to understand, relationships mean that my life actually matters to your life. When God talks about it, he talks about it as a body. My toe is a part of my whole body. If it hurts, the whole thing hurts. You affect other people. If you are a victim in life, or maybe you grew up and maybe your dad or your mom, they're alcoholics, and you know, they say, well, I could drink if I want to. No, then alcoholism will affect you. See, that's why we're told, meet off to idols, that kind of thing. It is nothing, but really, if it affects somebody, you don't. See, we're constantly thinking how it affects somebody, because your life does. And not only that, that's very consistent with what I told you about hours of influence. If you make a decision in your life, it will start to affect things. And when it affects things, your future children will be affected. See, your personal, private decisions today will affect your family tomorrow. And that's what we have to see. That really, we're people that have choices. For some reason, God gave us the gift of choice. The theological word for that is volition. We have choice. And some would say, no, you don't. God's in charge of everything. God is in charge of everything. And in being in charge of everything, he wants to love us, and he gave us choice. That's the way it is. And yes, he knows what we're going to choose. That's another story. We're not going there. But you have choices. I want you to understand, within the scope of choices, there are some things that you have to grasp. Number one is you have to understand the lethality of certain decisions. Lethal, meaning deadly. There are some decisions you do that are deadly. Say, boy, I'm not feeling good in the next 15 minutes. Put a gun to your head, pull the trigger. Lethal. That decision is not one you're going to recover from. See, that's done. There are some decisions that are like that. We would like to believe that all decisions have an escape route or a second chance. They don't. When my girls were little, I can remember telling them that because I loved the fact still that they thought that Dad could fix everything that ever broke. Everything. No problem. And I don't care what they brought to me, I tried to fix it. You know, because of the fact that I'm a dad, and dads are supposed to be able to do that. But every once in a while, as I was talking to my girls, I would tell them, you know what? There are things you could do that Dad can't fix, you know. And of course, if you're a 4-year-old girl, you go, oh no. And as a dad, I'm going, yeah, well, thank you. However, if you walk out in the street and get smashed by a truck, I can't fix that. See, there are some things in life I can't fix. What I want you to understand is you have decisions to make in life, and some of the decisions, indeed, you might have a second chance. You might be able to get out of a problem. You might be able to make a bad decision and spin out of it. But there are other decisions that you make that maybe you will never get out of. There will be consequences that you will never ever be able to get out of. If you listen to our radio broadcast when we interviewed the Kristen who ended up trying to kill herself and the train cut off her legs, if you hear her story, it wasn't like she was thinking about committing suicide. She was out one day, as far as I understand, she was out one day and she was out past when her parents said she should be, and she's just sitting there and she was thinking about life, and she was at a park. She didn't want to go home because she was late, she'd get a lecture. She had friends who did commit suicide. She thought, that's dumb, I would never do that. But then she heard a train. She thought, you know what, rather than go home, why don't I just go kill myself? And she did, she went laid on the tracks, right there. And I said, wait a minute, that was just a moment. She was, I know. But the lethality of decisions. You know, she laid on the track. For some reason, that train went over and didn't kill her. But when she opened her eyes after the train was over her, she looked to the side and there her shoes were, and she realized her legs were no longer attached. And to this day, she doesn't have legs. She did recover in a lot of ways. She did. She never played soccer again. She was a soccer player. She certainly went through a lot of trauma. She ended up going to Moody Bible Institute. She's married. She has a son today. You know, all that's good stuff. And there is some recovery in that. But she's still in a wheelchair. The lethality of decisions. See, there's no way to fix that. And what you need to understand, the difference sometimes between being a child and an adult, that little adolescent period that you go into, that the difference is realizing that no matter what you do, sometimes you think, you know, I can spin out of it. Maybe not. Recently, just yesterday, some big actor died. I don't know who it was. The guy who played Truman Capote, that's all I remember. But he died. And he died with a syringe in his arm. And a bunch of cocaine piled around him. Yeah, I'm sure one more hit, one more, I'll make it. Lethality of decisions. The funny part is, I don't know if you guys know that every drug that you take affects you differently. Some of you, like Linda could take like a half an aspirin and just be relieved of all problems, right? I need to take a bottle, and I'm still not getting any relief. See, what I mean by that is your bodies react different to medicines. Everyone's does. You don't know how your body's going to react to a certain medicine, by the way. Now, some medicines I take work real well, but others, it's like I didn't even take them. I don't know why. Go back to the doctor, doesn't work. Well, I have to switch this or that. You know what I mean? Something. When I was young, marijuana wasn't legal anywhere. And people that did smoke it, you know, were illegal. There's actually a guy that first time he ever took a joint, he smoked it, he went nuts. That's the way his body responded to it. I've never seen anyone else do that. I've never even heard of it. But he did. You'd say, what are the chances of that? One in gazillion, but if you're that one, stinks to be you. You know? And you say, well, most likely you're right. The trouble is, in decisions that we make, there's a lethality to some of them. There's nothing you can do to change it at that point. And you need to understand that. Understanding systems. This is another thing in choices you have to understand. The whole is systemic. In other words, it's all a system. I hit my toe with a hammer, my brain goes, ow! It's not my brain that has a problem, it's my toe. It's systemic. I just read an article before I came over here of a heart surgeon who said, I really don't see the evidence of statin drugs. Now, for those who don't know what that is, that's what they give everyone for the heart. I've been on one for 30 years. And he said, I don't think that matters. I think we have been mistaken that it is really inflammation that causes heart disease. Well, that's interesting. What's interesting is that he wrote an article and said, here, and he explained the system and how it works. What the doctors have figured out, and he said he's done 5,000 heart surgeries, so it's not a guy that doesn't know what he's talking about. He said, what we don't understand is that as the system takes in, believe it or not, foods, it's all food related. It looks at the foods like the genetically modified foods and too much modified wheat and sugar. It looks at it as a problem and it starts to swell, or you want to stop the inflammation. He said, we just told people to eat real food, they'd probably be fine. You know what's really interesting is that somehow we can't avoid the cupcake. And the reason we take the cupcake is because the cupcake decision is not lethal today. But we don't know what a cupcake a day will do. But because I'm a system, the cupcake I eat here, my taste buds go, affects here. See, I don't want to believe that. But it does. I have relatives, again, heart disease in my family. I've got some relatives that are big, they're good size. I keep warning them, you need to watch it. Why? You need to watch it. I mean, we have heart disease, man. My dad had his first heart attack 50 years old. It's not hard to fall over. Yeah, well, okay, fine. You know what? I understand your decision to eat this way and do this and do that's fine. You can have the freedom, but understand how systems work. You see, I would love to be able to do this and have it not affect this. It doesn't work that way. It's all tied together. So as choices, you have to remember that. Every choice and action either expresses a false worldview and contributes to disorder or expresses God's truth. See, what you have to understand is that Satan and his long-term plans gets us to think, as we think of kingdom agenda, we think we're in this kingdom and we make decisions based on that one, the poorest people kingdom, or we're in this kingdom, God's kingdom. And our decisions reflect which one we're in. Even as private, small decisions. Then God said, let us make people in our image, to be like ourselves. They will be masters over all life, the fish in the sea, the birds of the sky, and all livestock, wild animals, and small animals. So God created people in his own image. God patterned them after himself. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them. Multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Be masters over the fish and the birds and all animals. It's interesting. Romans 8:21 says, all creation anticipates the day when we will join God's children in glorious freedom of death and decay. God said, look, I made you a certain way. Wouldn't it be wise if God made us a certain way to understand how it was? I just love that way. That's why when somebody comes to me with an argument like homosexuality, I go, nah, God didn't make you that way. How do you know? I don't know. I just know. See, he made guys, he made girls different, you know. By the way, I'm never going to give birth to a child. I'm not made that way. Oh. Yeah, see, I don't know. Just observation. It's okay that we're different. Not only that, when I look at all of you, I think God is extremely creative. Not because he made you funny, but because he made you all different. I mean, don't you think that God would like run out of ideas with billions of people? Somehow he does a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Before you know it, everybody looks kind of unique, except for some of you twins. Christians are not just saved from something, but to something. You know, sometimes Christianity is portrayed as keeping me out of hell, and you know, I hate that portrayal of it because I've told you that. What it is a restored relationship. It allows you to be, we're saved to a relationship, not from hell. Oh, by the way, we're saved from hell too, but we're saved to a relationship. We're saved to something. We're saved in order to have purpose and meaning and significance and security. That's what we're saved to. And don't get the idea that we're just saved from. There's trouble, though, that happens when we don't understand this. Science works with facts. In other words, there's just facts. This stand is made out of whatever it's made out of. But it's a fact, whatever it is. It's painted black. That's a fact. So science has to do with facts. Opinions, when you put them onto facts, don't really matter a whole lot. Because the opinions need to go with the facts to make you smart at all. And there are some things that are facts. So science works with facts. Morality, or religion, I'm using that word loosely, works with values. Now that's where things are subjective. You see, the facts really aren't something that... tonight, with that debate that goes on with Ken Ham and Bill Nye, the science guy, you know, what they're going to be actually doing is talking about a difference in what they understand the facts to be. Believe it or not. And I'll probably watch that stupid thing, even though I don't think it has any value. Because I love those kind of things. It won't have any value on truth. That's already established. But I would love to see how they deal with it. I'd love to see how Bill Nye deals with it. I honestly think if people are coming already, I'm coming, I'm an atheist, I'm a creationist, but I don't think anyone's going to change their mind at the end of this thing. I could be wrong. God could use it for anything. But the bottom line really is, one of these, science working with facts. That's why if you know science, you lay out the facts carefully. Evolution, by the way, no matter what people say, is not a fact. That's not a fact. And so what you have is you actually have two complete different worldviews. Neither of them, which can sit there and back up what they have in science or with facts. Now, you say, well, Christianity can back it up. Well, actually, you know, science is there to discover things. And you need to discover God, and once you do have some facts. But other than that, not really. So what do we learn then? We learn the truth that God portrays in His Word. And we find that as we live in the scope of what is true, we find it actually works. Those people who want to go out, they want to sleep around, they want to get married, that, you know, try and find your significance and security, because at the end of your life, you're going to be miserable creeps. I mean, that's the way it goes. It's happened over and over and over again. It'll happen again. See, that's why God even said through His Word that by the fruits, you're going to know people that really know Me. Because they're actually going to live like they know Me, and it's going to show, and they're going to actually have joy, and they're going to have that. Not false stuff. What we have to be careful to understand are these two kind of phrases, byproduct, cause, effect. What we really in life are searching for are the byproducts, and you cannot falsely make them. For example, if I beat my head on a rock, the byproduct is pain in my head. If I am complaining to you about the pain in my head, you would be wise to tell me to quit beating it on a rock. Why? It isn't the pain in my head that's there by itself. It's a byproduct of the beating. Now, everything in life is that way. If you're told to love somebody, how can you love somebody? Can you force yourself to love them? Well, it is a choice, so that much I'll give you. But perhaps love is actually a byproduct of something. Perhaps understanding grace is a byproduct of something. There are people right in this room, no doubt, that probably have never been awed by God's grace. You know what I would tell you? You have never been convinced of your own depravity yet. Why? Because once you're convinced of that, then you can be awed by God's grace. See, because being awed by God's grace isn't something we do through a worship song. It's what we do as a byproduct of understanding our position in life as one who's needy and God. Now, can that remind you of that in a worship song? Yes. But the worship song isn't the cause of it. It would be the reminder of it. When your marriage isn't working right, when my marriage is not working right, I will say, you know, what is the cause of it? I'm sure it's Linda's problem. No. But there is a cause which causes an effect. There is a hours of influence that causes an action. And what we do as wise people is start looking at the byproduct thinking, the cause-effect thinking, because then we can solve problems. This article I read by the doctor today, he was very much on the byproduct cause-effect writing. Look at this does that, this does that, this does that, boom, healthy. Okay, that's what we're talking about. And likewise in our spiritual life, it's the same way. Now, let me look at you. What is the byproduct of some of this stuff? I mean, I just took stats. What are the byproducts? 1.1 billion people use Facebook every month. Now, again, am I preaching against Facebook? No, I'm just saying, what's going to be the byproduct of this? Because there will be a byproduct. You know, it will either promote healthy relationships, help healthy relationships, stop healthy relationships. I don't know, but there will be one. Why? And 1.1 billion people use Facebook every month, so it will have an effect on a culture. For all of Instagram's popularity, Snapchat users upload 110 million more photos per day. 110 million more per day. All right, how does that affect our culture? What is the byproduct of this? Some of it is unanswerable, I understand that, because I'm sitting there thinking, I don't know, what, you know, 10 years from now, what's it going to be like? I just know this, that in some cases now, young people, when I talk to them, they have no skills at all for talking, but as soon as they leave, they'll tweet me or use Facebook or something and get right to it. I'm thinking, that's already had an effect. You can't talk to people face to face, but you can do it that way. Is that going to continue? Is that going to stop? What are we going to do? I don't know. It just has an effect. YouTube, 1 billion per month. People go to YouTube. 1.1 use Facebook, so Facebook's more popular than YouTube by 0.1 billion, whatever that number is. Is that going to affect us as a culture? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. You say, well, I don't see a problem with any of these things. I'm not saying they're all problems. I'm just saying that it's going to affect us because of the cause of relationship thing. And if we don't like what's going to come out of it, then that's what we have to adjust. Not say, I want to sit there and watch 8 hours of television a day and still be physically fit and be able to run the Olympics. No. The cause and effect of watching that much television, sitting out on eating, is not Olympic athleteness. If that's a word. Look at this. The U.S. produces 25 times more porn than the rest of the world. It's a $12.62 billion industry. What's the effect of that? Single men watch an average of 40 minutes a day, three times a week, or 120 minutes a week of porn. That's the average in our country. What is the effect of that going to be? Well, I'll tell you right now what it's going to be. Your relationships are going to be pretty tough. A lot of you women are going to be treated like porn stars by your husbands. That's the effect. You say, wait a minute, I don't like that. I don't either. But we as a society are pretending that you can watch that and still have good marriages. So have at it. Until somebody gets mad about it. You know what? Here, you guys just put your ears away for a second. You know, girls, years ago, women can change the world. They can. Years ago, in this country, if you read history, you couldn't vote. Boy, you didn't take that well. You went after them and said, that's ending, like, right now. And what I can't understand is why women don't end this pornography thing. Because I'll tell you, men won't. And I'm wondering why the women of the country don't get together and say, that's got to end, man. Or heads are going to start rolling here. Now, again, should men be doing the leadership on that? Yes, they should. But what if they're not? See, they're too busy watching it. It doesn't mean that women aren't watching, by the way. The statistics aren't good there either. And maybe that's the problem. Do you realize that very likely all of this pornography watching, all of the internet, has already changed us as a nation? The effect's already there? And we don't even know it? I mean, do any of you ladies in here know what it's like to have somebody just look at you in total purity and total... It's harder as you keep going on this journey. 87% of university students are having sex on webcam, Skype, or something similar. They're now broadcasting what they're doing for their friends to enjoy. 87%, that's a big number. By the way, this came from a Christian research place that was trying to figure some things out. 35% of boys, just young boys, say they have viewed pornographic videos too many times to count. All right, if you're a 10, 11, 12-year-old boy and that's what you're doing, where do you got ahead for you? See, ideas have consequences. I may be looked at in life as somebody who's out here saying, well, please watch what you put in your head. Please don't go to those movies. Please limit this. But ideas have consequences. I cannot fix marriages today from people who have spent hours and hours and hours on porn sites together. I can't do that. There is a way to fix it, by the way. But it takes a while to do it. Here's some other stats. I just wanted to, you know, when you start looking at stats, it's probably best to just look at various stats because they either back each other up or a little bit different. Stats are interesting. If you're trying to prove a point, you know, you can go and bend them a little bit your way or ask the question differently. Just wanted you to see it. Pretty much says the same thing there. I found this set of stats interesting. This is from some Christian site that helps you block things, but it said 51% of pastors say internet pornography is possible temptation. I think that's a real euphemism for they're using it. 50% of all Christian men and 20% of all Christian women say they're addicted to pornography. 50%. What is going to be the outcome of that in the church? See, we as a culture think, again, our decisions aren't lethal. We could do this, it's not going to hurt anybody, it's just about me. Sorry, it isn't. 75% of pastors do not make themselves accountable, and regular church attendees are 26% less likely to look at porn. However, self-identified fundamentalists are 91% more likely to look at porn. I don't know where they get their statistics from, but I'm telling you, it'll have a consequence. What is it that causes people to do things they shouldn't do anyway, like increase sexual behavior? Number one is peers. Remember, as we talked about sheep, that's how we are. What happens is this. There's a lot on the internet. Number one thing on the internet is pornography. You got a bunch of young kids looking at that. What are they thinking everybody's doing? You don't think that affects them? It does, because we're sheep. We just get in line and we just do whatever it's doing. You guys, you know what? You don't have to live that way. You can have good marriages. It can be pure. You can do it right. By the way, you'd be a little different than everybody else, though. I started out talking about what culture was. See, that's where culture is, and there's a byproduct end of that thing. John 17:20, Jesus said this, I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all those who will ever believe in me because of their testimony. My prayer for all of them is that they will be one, just as you and I are one. Father, that just as you are in me and I am in you, so they will be in us and the world will believe that you sent me. I have given them glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are. I in them and you in me, all being perfected into one, then the world will know that you sent me and understand that you love them as much as you love me. What Jesus did in John chapter 17 is very simple. He said, you know, God, the system of this world doesn't work. Being one with this porridge people kingdom doesn't work. I am one with God and the king in the other kingdom. My prayer is that all of those who follow me will be one with me and you. Then, when men or women have the opportunity to look at pornography, they turn it off. Why? Because they know it will affect the future generations. They know it will affect their marriage. They know they don't want a part of it. They want to be one with us. See, one of the hallmarks of Christians, one of the things I'm preaching everywhere I go, is that we need to look at each other and make each other successful. That's what we need to do. We need to be thinking about, what do I need to do to make you the best you can be? And believe me, if you're always self-centered and you're always thinking about what's going on for you, that you are not going to be in a position to make anybody else better. Jesus' prayer was that we might be one with him. that we might think like him. By the way, that would make you very unique, wouldn't it? It would make you like the rest of the culture. What's another word for unique? Holy. You could take the word holy and translate it unique. And did the Bible say you're supposed to be holy? Yeah, that means you're supposed to be different than those who don't get it. Now, okay, I'm just going to be different then. No, that's how legalism starts. That's how you write Talmuds. The way you get different is by starting to understand what God's actually saying. You realize that his way is best. Yours isn't. Holy, different. We are to be unique people. The Bible calls, in the Old King James, called us peculiar people. Why? The typical person of this world probably would not want to party with a Christian who's actually walking with God. You say, then I should avoid them. I didn't say that. I think their parties are different. I think their language might be different. I think what thrills them might be different. You know, let's look at the other analogies. Does light get along with darkness? Nope, impossible. Why is it that we think we can get along with darkness? Do we not understand something? Darkness always loses in the presence of light. Always. It will never overtake light. Salt. Does salt have no effect? She said if it does, it's worthless. Salt should actually affect what it touches. What it touches, it preserves. It makes better. What it touches, it keeps the value of that. If it's not doing that, it's worthless. See, all of the analogies through the Bible, they need to be one, they need to be holy, they need to be unique, they need to be light, they need to be salt, are, wow, they need to be different. And everything Satan works on is same, 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 same. Some of you, if there's a new movie comes out, it's like, you will not be able to miss it for anything because there will be people talking about it, you will feel left out, you have no idea what it is to be unique. No idea what it is to be holy in that sense. Because you just want to be like the rest of the world. Or you feel badly about yourself. What you've done is you've opened up yourself to be used and abused by people and controlled by people because you are marching to the beat of their drums so that you will act and respond according to how they want you to. And God says, no, you're unique. See, if you're really one who loves God and knows God and listens to him, there's not a human circumstance, there's not a human situation, there's not a human that can get you off that. That makes you unique. Oh, remember the gate is what? Broad or narrow? The road is what? Broad or narrow? There's not a lot on it. You say, well, I don't know. Well, I know that's what you'd say because, again, 2 Timothy 4 says you can find whoever you want, believe whatever you want. Belief does not make you right. Listening to God does. C.S. Lewis said, the Christian and the materialist, talking about the porridge people and the Christian, hold different beliefs about the universe. They can't both be right. The one who is wrong will act in a way which simply doesn't fit the real universe. I love C.S. Lewis's writings, obviously a brilliant thinker. And he said, look, you know, you can get together with somebody who's not a believer, lives in the porridge kingdom, you know, that kind of thing, and a believer. And they live differently. This guy's living as if the world's a war zone. This guy's living as if the world's home. Can't both be right. One of them will be wrong and one of them will be proven wrong. Yeah, that's pretty clear. You say, well, I don't know, I would miss. Yeah, you know what? Again, culture has been able to invade to where you can't even enjoy the things maybe that you're supposed to enjoy. You have to enjoy the poorest people's stuff because that's all you know. It will have a consequence. How do we change culture? How do we do it? That's a big job. Does it matter, actually? You remember in Germany when Hitler took over? The church pretty much sat idly by. The church didn't do much. In fact, many of the churches embraced what Hitler was doing. They didn't know what he was doing, granted, but it was Dietrich Bonhoeffer who made the difference. I know he gave his life for it, and he died for it, but he said, we can't stand there and do nothing. How do you change culture? How do we do it? How are we going to, in life, get to the point where our lives actually do something that would change something? I know my answer is very simple, and I'm going to go through some others with you, but one of the things is I can't change culture, but I'm going to work at it one life at a time. You know, I can't change 1,000 people, a million people, but I bet you if I work at it one life at a time, maybe we can impact down the road. See, it took us a long time to get to where we're at, and here's what Christians are not willing to do. They are not willing to sit and look at how we got to where we're actually at. Everything that we do as Christians, everything that we do, we tend to just say, this is where we're at. We're okay doing this. This is right. So we keep justifying everything. We're not willing to say, let me ask you this. Are marriages working today in this country? No. A majority of them are ending in divorce. A majority of them. Our, you know, the abortion issue that came so many years ago, how's that going for us? Still the law of the land. Why are we failing at these things? Well, you know, we must look at the cause-effect relationship of our lives, the hours of influence. Some studies indicate that up to 70% of all diseases result from lifestyle choices. Can you believe, here I am, President Obama, and I am saying I want to fix the healthcare system. What if I could wipe out 70% of those who need it? Would it be fixed? I tell you, do you know how much money that represents? What are lifestyle choices? Well, I eat too many Twinkies. That's a lifestyle choice. The idea of just obesity. You know, by the way, when I ever call anyone obese, I, by definition, am obese. I don't know how in the world I got my weight on a chart, but I have never been that weight since like eighth grade. And yet, you know, technically, I'm obese. Do I know what causes obesity? I would love to say no. But I actually do. But do I want to change it? You know what I would like to do? I would like to have my cake and eat it too. That's what I would like. I would love to be able to eat all I want. You know, there's this new pill that's being out there. I research nutrition all the time. There's this new pill that I really would be tempted to try. You don't have to do anything and you can lose weight. You can eat like donuts and whatever, and it just makes you look like you have no belly at all. And believe me, I thought of making a home kit for liposuction too. I figured, why not? Just sterilize the end of like a shop vac. Yeah, put a little slit in there and suck all the fat out. I mean, how hard can it be? That way I could just eat what I wanted and keep what I want shape-wise. You know what? Why do I even spend time daydreaming about stupid things? Because I know the answer and I don't like it. I want it to be something else. You know, why is it that all those diet people can get up there and tell you, if you just take this pill, you'll be exactly the size you should and all that stuff? Because Americans are going, yes, I can eat all the garbage. I want to be that way. Because what in their head, what do they know? I know that really it's diet and exercise. I don't want to do that. So give me another way. Linda would tell you, I'm a gadget guy. Gimmick guy, always been. For some reason, I think, wow, this will work. When I was a kid even, color televisions. Did I tell you about the color television? What a great, great experience. We had a black and white television. And one day I was reading a comic book. I forget which one. But I was a kind of a comic book connoisseur. And so I was reading a comic book. I think it was Archie. Doesn't matter. But in it was an ad at the back for I think it was 25 cents. Back then it was a lot of money. For something that would turn your black and white television into a color television. And I remember looking at it going, wow, I got to get that. So I went to my dad and he let me learn a lesson. I said, so you want to get that? Yeah, I want to get that. My dad, for you, I'll get you a color TV. Okay. So, you know, he had to write the check for the quarter stuff, and shipping and handling probably was another quarter. I had no idea. But, you know, I had to give him the quarter, the whole works, and I was waiting by the mailbox, you know, and finally one day it comes, I go, yes,
color TV, here we come.
I remember taking it out. You know what it was? It was a piece of saran wrap with rainbow coloring on it. You were supposed to tape it to the front of your television. My dad just snickered. It's like, you got to learn it sometime, son. You don't make a color television for 25 cents. See, back then, televisions were very expensive. Color televisions were. You'd never do one for a quarter. You know, those stupid ads can still get me. Because I'm a dreamer. I think, oh, that might work. And Linda's always going, I tell her, but I'm in a phase. I go through phases. I'm in this phase now. That's one good thing about being married to someone who doesn't go through phases. Is she said, why don't you wait a day? Because the next time you're looking, I go, yeah, that was stupid. You see, 70% of all diseases result from lifestyle choices. I did write the president once and told him, I think we can fix this healthcare thing. I think we can, without changing much. And I think we need to protect personal responsibility, too. Here's what we do. If you're sick because of a lifestyle choice, we don't pay. Go ahead and have that choice. You want to smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day? Feel free. It's America. Enjoy. However, when you come down with lung cancer, that's not our issue. That's your issue. Because all along, you have chosen this lifestyle. So, we protect your freedom, but your freedom has to do with accountability to the responsibility when you have cancer. Likewise, people like myself who are considered obese. If I have a sickness related to the obesity, don't pay. Why? I have the freedom to eat all of the Twinkies I want. But I also need to be responsible. So when you start thinking about it, you start realizing, look, I do have freedom in life. I do. But here's what every American wants and every Christian wants. I want total freedom with no responsibility for bad. Doesn't happen. And it will never happen. And that's what we have to understand. If indeed 70% of all disease result from lifestyle choices, then this nation should grow up and start taking care of itself better, and now we don't have the healthcare crisis that we see. Oh, that's very harsh. You don't understand. That showed no love at all. I don't know. I think it does. Don't you all feel better when you're in good shape? Yeah. And by the way, do it healthy. Do you know that there is a healthy way to stay in good shape and an unhealthy way? When I played football, you could take steroids. There's an unhealthy way to gain an advantage. There's a healthy way. Steroids didn't do it. Steroids weren't permanent. Steroids were cheating. But you could take them. And if you took them, back then we didn't have drug tests, so you could do it. But if you did it, you cheated. And down the road, it was evident that you cheated. We need to understand that particular idea. Personal choice is not subjected to one's own interpretation. You and I might say, I made this choice because of this, I did this because of that, and that's my filter. Remember, hours of influence equal normal, which equal a worldview. That's it right there. Interpretation is your worldview. And once you get there, you think you're right beyond that. No, that has nothing to do with determining right and wrong. Right and wrong is already determined. Good and bad and right and wrong are different. We have to understand that. Why don't you take a 5-minute break here and then come back and we will continue.